Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Now, we just move on because the Phil Hogan story is not the only story around. A lot of schools went back today or yesterday or will be going back in the next few days. And a lot of teachers, parents, children, a lot of anxiety around people really wanting it to work out, but a lot of anxiety around how it's going to work. James, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
James, you're a teacher. Is it primary school, yeah?
Yeah, I'm a primary school teacher in Dublin, yeah.
And you are worried about going back?
Yeah. It's an odd mixture of emotions. Naturally, you're excited about the new school year. You're looking forward to seeing the kids again and all of that. But this year is very, very different, as everybody knows, particularly for a group of teachers within a certain categorization from the HSE. I have an underlying health condition, and I take immunosuppressant drugs for it. And according to HSE, depending on which part of the HSE website you read, I'm either in the very high risk group or the high risk group. And as part of my return to school protocol, I had to contact the occupational health service that the department used, Medmark, and ask for them to assess my suitability to return to work.
And how do they do that, actually? Do they meet you? Do they talk to your doctor? How does that work?
It's all done online. So there's a couple of steps to it. The initial thing you can do is an online assessment, kind of a self-assessment, to see where you may fall based on their guidelines. And that has no bearing on any official statement about whether you return to work or not, but it's kind of used as to gauge what might be the outcome of you getting an assessment.
Okay.
And following that, if you still want to or you feel obliged to, you can get the assessment from Medmark, which means you have to submit some medical documentation from a consultant or from your GP, and they will then form an assessment based on that information and their own opinion on your circumstances, and then that will determine whether or not you are fit to return to work.
So have you had a determination now?
I have, yeah. They ruled that due to my medication, I'm in the high-risk category, which means that I am supposed to return to work. But there's a kind of a snag in the tail of that. The department issued a circular 49 of this year, and in that, there's two paragraphs, 11.2 and 11.3. And in both of those, they talk about the various categories, and they say that very high-risk teachers shouldn't return, but high-risk should. But if there are circumstances where high-risk teachers cannot do the things that mitigate the risk in the classroom, such as social distancing or regular hand-washing, then they may move into the very high-risk category, and that would mean that it's not deemed safe to return to the classroom.
Right.
And in my own circumstance, that's what's happening. I can't socially distance from my class. We just don't have the space, and with the best will in the world, like in our school, we're working like constantly to try and make this an option and to make it workable. And it's just not. I can't see how I can return to work safely, but Medmark have deemed that I should.
Yeah, I heard. Well, I know that the unions have been out in relation to this issue, because obviously you're not alone in terms of teachers who would have, you know, be particularly vulnerable here. Is that it now? As it stands, when is your school back?
We're back. We've students back tomorrow, but we've been back in, you know, for the last few weeks, obviously getting the place ship shape as much as we can. But the students are back tomorrow.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. I've emailed the minister. I've contacted the union again to ask them, is there any update? I know they're having meetings with Medmark and with the department, but I haven't heard anything back. And perfectly honest, like this is like I'm not as bad as some of the cases that I've read online. There's a group, Voice for Teachers, where they're like teachers who have far, far worse issues going on than I do, who are being ruled okay to return to work. It nearly feels like an automated process, but I have to trust that it isn't. You know, it feels like I submitted a certain amount of data and it was fed into an algorithm, and the algorithm, you know, returned the verdict rather than a real doctor looking at it. Or I don't know how they arrive at the conclusion based on what I've seen from other teachers.
But how do you feel now? You're literally facing into a decision tomorrow that you are supposed to turn up for work. You're supposed to put yourself in the way of a classroom full of kids.
Yeah.
And at pain of, I presume, would you lose your job if you refuse to go in?
I have no idea. I haven't even thought that as an option, because at the end of the day, the kids need somebody in the classroom with them, and we don't have another teacher who can go in and do it. So it's
You will probably go in.
I will go in, of course, but I don't want to sound dramatic, but I have been so stressed about this that I'm finding it difficult to think straight about the organisation, the day-to-day running of the classroom that I know needs to happen, and I feel it's not practical to go on like this in a teaching capacity. You know, I don't know that what to do, to be perfectly honest.
Would given that you're taking immunosuppressant medication, that obviously it doesn't take a genius to work out that you would be very vulnerable then in terms of COVID.
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not sure of the categories. Perhaps there are varying levels of immunosuppressed, but from my understanding was that, and the HSE guideline says, anybody taking immunosuppressant drugs needs to take extra care to avoid catching COVID-19. And the way you do that is by, you know, using social distance and washing your hands regularly. I can't very well leave a classroom full of children and to go and wash my hands every couple of minutes. And the department guidelines are that, yes, I can wear a face mask, but the face mask doesn't stop me from getting it. It only stops me from spreading it. Yeah. But the children won't be wearing face masks.
No,
and,
because...
I can understand why not, but, you know, at the same time,
it makes you more vulnerable. James, you stay there. I want to bring in Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Casey. How are you?
I'm good. Your kids are going back to school and you have a related concern.
I have, yes, because my kids will be starting school now again next week, and my husband has an autoimmune disease as well. He would be in the high-risk category. Also, my mother-in-law lives with us, and she's 80. And with the kids going back to school, my eldest boy would be going into a secondary school, which would be at least 1,200 pupils. My youngest would be going into a smaller, primary school. But it's the fear that is there, that because they say that the kids are super spreaders, and like that gentleman there.
Yeah, I don't. I just not to let that hang out there. I mean, that I think was an initial theory back at the very early stages of this. But I think that has been, you know, dismissed to some degree by the science in the intervening period. But I think what they have established is that children do get it and can transmit it. Yeah.
Yes. But if my kids get it and bring it home, my husband, I mean, he would not be able to fight it. You know, he has a very rare blood disease. And I think they're so ill-advised at the moment that even the schools and the school's principals aren't getting the proper information from the Department of Health, from the Department of Education, that we don't know what way this is going to pan out. I mean, Berlin, Dundee in Scotland, they went back to school and some of their schools are closed already because they have had high cases of COVID.
And would you consider, I mean, you've decided that your kids are going to go back. Have you decided that much?
We're pondering the fact that we might actually not send them back and see how it pans out.
just to see how it runs, because I think I think to be fair, and I do, we don't want to be spreading you know, unnecessary fear or concern around this, because we're all really, really hoping that this works out for everyone, and that the children who so badly need to be back in those classrooms can go and continue in school.
But education is vitally important to our kids, and the social interaction is vitally important to our children. But their health is also extremely important to us. My youngest would be an asthmatic.
Right, and, yeah, so you've got a lot going on there, Anne-Marie.
I have, but I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person. There are plenty of us parents out there that are just having sleepless nights over this, you know.
Well, stay there, because we have Niamh as well on the line. Niamh, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Are you one of those parents?
My son would be what they call the high-risk category. He's asthmatic. But my issue was that I got so much more advice, and basically my mind was put at rest much more by the actual school than I have been so far from listening to the Department of Education, the Minister for Education. And the government in general.
The Minister, Norma Foley, she did a long interview on Prime Time last night. Many of you might have seen it. Did you see that?
I did.
And
yeah.
What did you take from that?
Very little, to be honest. Just more of the same. It just seems like that this is happening. Everything will be fine. We've put everything in place. And although I do believe that the schools have done a wonderful job, my own especially, my own principal has been fantastic and has made allowances for my son going back because of his asthma. And he will go back. I mean, we've been back and forward with it. He's going back because I want him to be around his friends. I feel he's missing that. He wants to go himself. He's 10, nearly 11. And he wants to go, but there is that fear. It is still there. I mean, we're being bombarded every day with it. The figures are still high. Personally, if I had my way, I'd love to keep him at home and keep him safe, but I know he has to go back. They all have to go back eventually, you know, but the worry is there. And as I said, it was the principal of the school that talked me down off that ledge last week when I was having a very, very big wobble. And he rang me and he talked to me for an hour, and we put a plan in place, and my son will go in a little bit later. He'll leave a little bit earlier, as with other children in the school with asthma, so that they're not meeting big groups in corridors, etc. I do feel a little bit more secure, but when I hear things like leave the windows open, please don't put my son beside an open window, he'll get pneumonia. You know, it's some of the stuff that's coming out just seems crazy. It's like that the windows will be left open, and
it does feel like
open in the middle of the winter.
Well, I just feel that principals in particular and teachers generally have had a huge amount of responsibility foisted on them for sorting this out and trying to you know, transform schools that were never meant to have classes with everyone a metre or two apart into, like, by magic almost, yeah.
Our teachers and our principals, wonderful and all as they are, and believe me, after trying to homeschool, I have a brand new respect for teachers.
Oh, I think a lot of people do.
They're not paid enough. But they're educators. They are not doctors. They're not medical. They never claimed to be. And we're now asking them. You know, I put the question to my principal, and I realised as soon as I said it how unfair it was. I said, will he be safe? And the principal just said, I can't guarantee that. Nobody can. And he was right. You know, and this is the pressure that we're putting on. We're handing our children over, saying, right now, you keep them safe. And the poor teachers are saying, well, we'll do our best. But we're not, you know, we've 30 or 29 other children besides yours in the class we also have to keep safe. And children are not adults, and we shouldn't be expecting them to act like adults. They will move around the class. They will do, children by their very nature do things they're not supposed to do when your back is turned. It's not their fault. And that is my other concern, that we're putting a lot of pressure on one man or one woman standing in that classroom to keep 29 to 30 children COVID-free. And it's very difficult. The pressure on them and the stress on them must be immense right now.
Yeah, Absolutely. And as we say, and we heard from James there a short while ago, a lot of them have their own issues and concerns
Absolutely.
About it, and they have to deal with that as well. Niamh, thank you for that. I'm sure this is going to run as we get into those first days of school. But we'll leave that there for now. Our text line is 51551. We'll be back after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.